The Rambam said in the beginning of Perek Sheni, a super important and famous Rambam, where the Rambam says that the derech to Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem is through looking into nature and understanding nature. That's the way they arrive at Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem. That was the famous Rambam where he pushes studying science and nature. He then in Perek Gimel, and a little bit in Perek Revi as well, presents his understanding of the realities of science, at least the way it was understood in his generation. Okay, that's the simple interpretation of what the Rambam is doing here. So I'm going to read through it. I think what I'm going to do is I'll read through Perek Shlishi Halacha Aleph. You'll get a little bit of a sense of where he's going, and then I don't think we're going to read the rest of Perek Gimel, just because I think you'll see, I don't think we'll get as much out of it. So let's take a look. Hagalgalim hema nikroim shamayim virakia uzvul viaravos. Vehem tisha galgalim. Perek Shlishi. So there are a number of different galgalim, which are some type of sphere. What did you say? A sphere in the world, or outside of our world, that spins, or that the world spins within. Some type of planetary structure. So one of them is called Shamayim, one is called Rakia, one is called Zvul, one's called Aravos. Now there's a big debate if the Rambam here is just describing some physical reality, or if there's some spiritual reality that he's trying to describe. Is he trying to describe some upper dimensions, or is he just describing a physical world? And there are nine of them. Gagal akarav mimenu gagal ayarech. We have the sphere of the moon. Hasheni shalamal mimenu gagal shabo akochav shenikra kochav. There's something called kochav. The one above that is called noga. The one above that is where chama. The one above that is ma'adim. The one above that is kochav tzedek. The one above that is called shabbatai. The one above that is where all of the other kochavim that we see in the sky. And the ninth is the gagal achozer b'chol yom in amizrach lamarav. Tu amakif es hakol u'misabev es hakol. So, as I mentioned, I think we're not going to do the rest of Perek Gimel, because most of it is basically just a description of planetary motion, how the Rambam understood it. Okay. At the end of the Perek in Halacha Yud, so the Rambam describes that down on Earth, on our Earth, so there are four primary forces. There's Esh, there's Mayim, there's Ofar, Esh, Mayim, Ofar, and Ruach. And he's going to be picking up from that. If we just look at Yud Aleph, they don't have any life to them. Water, I know water has life in it, but water itself is not a living being. Wind, dirt, so, and fire. All of them have certain natural properties to them that they can't change. That the idea here is not that the fire and the barad is praising God, but that God, man, praises God through seeing the Eish and the barad. Okay, let's take a look at Perek Revi. Arba gufim ha'elu shem Eish v'ruach u'mayim v'eretz. The four basic entities that make up our world, Hemisodos kol anivram lamata min arakia. They are the basic building blocks of our universe. V'chol shiyam yadim v'beim v'ofer remes v'dog v'tzemach u'mateches v'avonim tov u'margolios u'shar avnei binyan v'harim v'gushei afar. All the things that we see, animals and plants and inanimate objects, Hakol Golmo Mechuber Me Arbi Yisodos Elu. They all are made up on some level between Afar, and water, eish, these different basic principles. Nimtzukol agufal shlamata min harakiyim. For us, we can understand this, like we know, we've broken up the basic elements of the world into smaller pieces, beyond just these four elements. We have all the different atoms and all the different things that go into all molecules and all mass. Nimtzukol agufim shlamata min harakiyim chutz me'arbi yisodos ha'elu mechubar migolam v'tzura. Everything that is created has a tzura, we mentioned, and a golem. It has a physical element, and it has the shape, the form. So the physical element, the chomer, the golem, that itself is made up of these four yesodos. So it's not such a stretch. The fact that all physicality, is the Rambam says, is broken up into four, and we argue that now that all those four are broken up into even smaller pieces. That's not such a big chiddush. Okay, what we're going to pick up from now within this parak, we're going to move towards the end of this parak, and we're going to get to halacha ches. This is very, very critical for, and very important Rambam here, and we'll pick up from here. Nefesh kol basar hi tzuraso shenasen lo akel. The soul, the word nefesh is used, halacha ches, in Dalit. Nefesh kol basar hi tzuraso shenasan lo akel. The nefesh of every person is the tzura that was given to him by God. And what is your soul? What is it? What's your tzura? What changes you from just being a clod of mass, of stuff, and turns you into a person? Hadas hayaseira mitzuya benafsho shel adam. It's the higher level of intelligence that's found by man. Das yaseira, because animals also have basic intelligence. Animals have basic intelligence. They're able to figure certain things out. But the das hayaseira that man has is tzura sa'adam ha'shalim b'daito. It's the tzura of a person who's complete in his das. Now that line is also a very heavy line. He doesn't say that man's intellect is what makes man, man. Man's intellect makes man man if he perfects his intellect. I mean, you can have a guy and he sits on a couch all day and he has a beer in his hand and he watches television all day and he sits like a big lump on a couch and he doesn't do anything and he doesn't educate himself. So on the one hand, he's not just a mass and a lump. He's a little bit more than that. Because, right, a slug is like a nice, just a mass of stuff. He's more than that. Because he has an intelligence. But he doesn't really, and that's what's unique about man, he doesn't really become a man unless he maximizes his potential. The Maharal says that an animal is called a behemoth because it's made up of the words ba, ma. It is what it is. That's what an animal is. There's no greater potential. An animal is born into the world and that's it. He's an animal. A person, though, is born into the world, right? It's a little pathetic. Baby horses, I think they're able to walk within like a few hours of birth. Think about how pathetic man is, right? For all the Darwinists, we lost some very crucial things that if we were really evolving from horses, that's a really unfortunate thing to lose. That babies are not self-sufficient until they're 3 years old, 4 years old. You know, you have a baby, it's 2 months old, 3 months old, 4 months old. If nobody comes and feeds it, it'll starve to death. Baby horses, in a few hours, they're on their own, they're walking around, they're able to do things. So an animal is born, and basically, as soon as it's born, it's a horse. A human, no offense to any babies, but a human, when it's born, is really a blob that does nothing until it actually develops its intelligence. Humans are the only creatures like that, that take a tremendous amount of time to develop into a person. And especially if we start defining a person as someone who has good midos, and we start to find that using your mind. So until you're actually educated, you're not really a human. That's what he means here. Tzuras Adam is the shalim bedaito, that he's shalim bedaito. The al tzuras zu, ne'amar betorah, nasa adam betzalmenu kidmusenu. We're going to say a little pshat here. What do you mean, nasa adam? So everybody knows Rashi. That Rashi says, oh, nasa adam, the pshat is that we learn from Hashem humility. Because even though it's a pischon peh for apikarsim to say that there's more than one God, because it says nasen, the plural, let us make man, that's a Rashi quote. So the Sfas Emes says a different mahalach. Sfas Emes says, you know why it says nase adam? let us make man. Why? Because we are partners with God in creating ourselves. God is calling out to us and saying to us, come, let's make man, meaning let's turn you into something. Don't just be a blob who sits on a couch. Let's educate you. Let's develop your midos. Let's make you into something. And I think that that works out very nicely when he says that the tzur of an adam is that if he's shalim bedaito, he actually develops his mind. Klomar. Tzielo tzura yodas umaseges adeo she'en lehem golem ach yidma lehem. What is the whole power of man? This is an amazing thing. Bitzal menu kid musenu, the Rambam is saying, means that God, he's not learning pshat like the Sfas Emes. Nasa Adam is Hashem speaking to the angels, to the other very elevated beings, and saying to them, let's make man with an ability that he can use his mind and come to get a hasaga of those things that don't have a golem. What do you mean things that don't have a golem? What do we say golem means? What's golem? Physicality. So man has the ability to perceive divine beings and divinity. We spoke about how Hashem is the ultimate being that has no physicality, purely divine. There are also angels that are not physical, the Rambam says, that are divine, they're spiritual. Man was given an ability to connect to a spiritual reality. Okay, remember, this is the Rambam, the rationalist, that we spoke about. The Rambam says that man's mind gives him the ability to perceive spiritual and divinity. When we say that man was created bitzelem, it doesn't mean the physical tzura which you see with your eyes, like the mouth or the nose or the jaw and any other physical element of the body. Because those we refer to as toar ha'adam. That's not called tzura sa'adam. It says in Chumash that certain women were yifas toar. It doesn't say they were yifas tzura. Toar describes your physical makeup, your eyes, your nose, your chin, your ears, your skin color. Tzura refers to a spiritual quality. When man was created b'tzelem Elokim, it doesn't mean that God has a nose and therefore he gave man a nose. It means that man was given certain spiritual qualities that God has. You should know that the soul of man is not like the soul you find by animals. That through which, right, what's the difference between a dead horse and a live horse? He has a soul. He has life. Okay, we don't say soul. If you ask a doctor, what makes a dead horse alive? What do you mean? He has a heartbeat. Okay, what makes his heartbeat? His brain. Okay, what makes his brain send out electrical impulses to the heart and tell the heart to beat? Man, we still don't know, we still can't create life out of nothing. Because we don't know what is that thing that makes something alive. So that's a soul. Animals have that. That's not what we mean when we speak about man's ikker soul. Man also has an animalistic soul. Just like animals have something that make them alive, a dead horse can't eat, it can't sneeze, it can't give birth, it can't be maharher. I didn't know horses are maharher. So maharher means that it has some type of mental ability. Horses also have a mental ability. If he puts his face into a fire and he gets burned, he's not going to do that again because his mind is able to figure that out. So the fact that we also can figure out certain things, that's not what makes man special. Horses also are maharher. Rather, it's the deya, which is some deeper form of intelligence. We're not going to get into it now. I can recommend a book or two if you want that talks about it. But there are different types of intelligence that people have that animals don't have. Animals don't have emotional intelligence. I don't think a horse can see that another horse is having a bad day and come over to him and say, like, I'm very sad because I see that you're having a rough day. Maybe I can help you. It's emotional intelligence. Horses don't have emotional intelligence. They don't have philosophic, abstract intelligence. They don't sit there thinking, like, what's the purpose of life? Why am I here? Why am I on this farm? Why did God put me in this barn? We can ask questions like that. Why was I born into this kind of family? Why do I have these types of limitations? Why do I have these kinds of skills? What does that mean God wants from me? How can I best give back to the community? Horses don't think that way. So that's the deya. That's what makes you human. Because to be human means to be unique from animals. What makes you unique from animals? That's Tzuras HaNefesh. The Tzuras HaNefesh HaKasam Medaber. That's what the Pasuk's referring to when it says, Nasa Adam B'Tzalmenu K'dmusenu. U'P'amim Rabos Tikare Zos HaTzura Nefesh V'Ruach. We sometimes refer to this as your Nefesh. We sometimes refer to this as your Ruach. L'fikach Tzarech Lizar B'Shemo Shlo Titoya. You have to be very careful, that means, with words, with terms, because does a horse have a soul? Yes. Does a human have a soul? Yes. Does he have the same soul as a horse? Well, he actually also has that. Whatever the horse has, he also has. But he also has another kind of soul. And sometimes it's called a ruach, and sometimes it's called a nefesh, and sometimes it's called a neshama. So, if I was writing a last line here to the Rambam, I would write, don't look at terms, talk about concepts. Because, you know, one of the greatest things that holds us back from learning like Kabbalistic material and heavy Hasidic sources is their language. Nukva, Zeranpin. Okay, but these are concepts. If you understand the concepts, the words are not a problem. You know, you can have some like anthropomorphic. It sounds like a really big, scary word. Okay, once I tell you that all that means is giving God human qualities, it's not such a scary concept anymore. God was angry. Boom. Anthropomorphic. Okay, we said that might be a different term. Anthropomorphic. You know, God rests his feet. Hashamayim kisi v'ha'aretz hadom raglai. Anthropomorphism. Complex concept. Complex word. Easy concept to talk about. Okay, test. Intrus and nefesh hazos b'chuberes b'nei yisodos k'deish t'ipared lehem. Veino mikoch haneshama ad shtei tzricha l'neshama k'mosha haneshama tzricha l'guf. So the tzuris of a soul is not mechuberes of the yisodos to the degree that it can disintegrate, right? The human body is made up of those, the golem, made up of the four yisodos, four elements, thank you. And because of that, when the body dies, so the body can dissolve and disintegrate and decompose and fall apart because it's made up of physical qualities. The soul's like not like that. Veino mikoch haneshama ad shtei tzricha l'neshama k'mosha haneshama tzricha l'guf. And the soul also, the force that gives life to the body, the soul doesn't need something powering it like the body does. Right? In order for our bodies to live, we need that basic animalistic soul that gives life. Your soul, though, doesn't need that. Elam eis Hashem in Hashamayim hi. Rather, it was given to us by Hashem. Lefikach kishi yiparid golem shu mechuber min yisodos. Therefore, when the body loses its life force, toved haneshama, so what's going to happen to the body? It's going to fall apart. Mipnei she'ena mitzuya ela ima guf, etzrich l'guf b'chol ma'aseha. Lo tikari satzura hazos, but you don't lose your neshama when that happens. Lefi she'ena tzrich l'neshama b'ma'aseha. See, it's hard. The Rambam uses the word neshama as that which gives life force. So just like when the body loses its life force, so the body disintegrates and it's gone, but your nefesh, your soul, does not need the life force in order to exist. Ela yodas umaseges adeos haprudos min hagolamim v'yodas borei hakol. In fact, your neshama, he doesn't use that for neshama. Your nefesh is the term he uses. Your soul actually has a great understanding of who God is. You know, I would even word it like this. Before your soul enters your body, your soul knows God, because at that point your soul is purely spiritual. The moment your soul enters your body, assumes a certain physical association, because it's physical association with the body, and that prevents it from having its true knowledge of God. Because anything that's physical is limited in its ability to connect and understand God. In fact, the part of us that's most associated with Amuna and knowledge of God is our neshama. Our bodies can't really know God. It's dafka the neshama, because the neshama is purely spiritual. So it's omedes li'olam u'liolme olamim. And it also is eternal. Your neshama is the most eternal part of you. It's like your black box. You know, like just as a simplistic mushel. Everyone has within them a black box that cannot be destroyed. And it obviously it's not physical like the black box is, and it's something that exists outside of this existence, and therefore it exists forever. So that's a good question. To some degree, we'll answer for now. To some degree. The Omed is the Olam Uliolem Olamim. V'hu she'amar Shlomo b'chachmaso, v'yashov ha'ofar el ha'aretz, kishahaya v'haruach tashuv el elokim asher nasna. Paskin Koheles, that the body, the ofar returns to the ground, which is where it came from, but the ruach, the soul, so it returns to God who gave it. These are all like a drop in the bucket. These are not as deep as some of the things I spoke about in the first and second perek. Remember in the first and second perek, so that's where we spoke all about the malachim and all of these spiritual dimensions. Everything I've been describing now is called Maisa Bereishis. Just like they learn in Chagiga that you're not supposed to speak publicly about Maisa Merkava. That was what the first two parakim we said was about, right? Remember at the end of Perak Beis, he said, okay, everything we've spoken about in these two parakim, this is what's called Maisa Merkava, and this is what Chazal tell us, that we're not allowed to speak about in public. You could just give hints. And if your Talmud is a Chacham enough, he'll pick up from your hints. This is called Maisa Bereishis, and this also, you're not supposed to speak about it Barabin. But here, unlike earlier where you were only allowed to speak in hints, here you can actually teach it. But you teach it to one person. None of these like online course in Maisa Bereishis. No such thing. You have to sit with one person that you know is Roy, and you teach it to him.
What does he say exactly what Maisa Bereishis says, the concepts of the soul?
The concepts of the soul and also all of the celestial spheres that we skipped in Perek Gimel.
So secretive about the celestial spheres.
So that's why it implies that it's not just a physical description that he's describing there. But it's above me, so that's why it's hard for me to teach it to you. What's the difference? She'inyan maisa merkava afiyu le'echad ein darshin bo. Even for one person, you can't teach it to him. Elim kena yechacham umeven midaito. Unless he's a tremendous chacham and he's able to infer things. Nostim lo rashe prakim. So you give him the basic ideas and he has to infer. Vinyan maisa bereishis, but when it comes to maisa bereishis, melamdin oso, you can teach it, liyachid. Afa pishin omeven oso midaito. Even if he can't figure it out by himself. Umodion oso kol shiyachol leida midvar ma'elu. And you can literally teach it out, straight out. The lama em alamdin oso lerabim. Why do you not teach it in public? Lefishin kol adam yesh lo das rechava lahasik peru shabir kol advar malburyo. So you teach it in public, you don't know who's sitting in the crowd. And you might end up teaching it to people who are not really roi to learn it. And when we teach it this way, we know that all the people are roi to learn it. When a person learns this, and he's makir, all of the different elements of creation, mimalach, starting from a malach, the galgal, the adam ukiyotsebo, going all the way to the galgal, the spheres and man, yirah chachmosa shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu b'chol yitzurim b'chol abruim. You'll see the tremendous chachma of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and it'll be mosif ava l'makom. It will give more love for Hashem. V'timtza nafsho v'yichme b'saru leho v'makom Baruch Hu, and your soul will desire. It'll have a yearning, a cheshek, a taiva. That's what it means. V'yichma b'saru. You'll want to love God, and then you'll fear Him. At the same time, you'll also feel this certain sense of, I'm not worthy. My shiflus, my dalus, my kalus. When you compare yourself to these greater beings, you realize I'm such a little speck on the earth. Ma enosh kitzis kerenu. Kol shekin lechad me'atzuros atzohoros and efrodos min agolmim. When you think of these celestial, the malachim that have these, imagine a malach with his clear perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What a tremendous level the malachim are on that they can perceive God. V'yimtza atzmo shu kechlima libusho chlima reik v'chaser, and you realize how little, how small I am. In yane arba prakim elu shebechamesh mitzvos ha'elu. These four prakim that we've described, Heim Shachachamim Arishonim Korimosam Pardes. And we'll have to finish up with this Mirtz Hashem next week. Ashrei Yosher Yisachar. Yeah, what's that, Zach?